You're listening to episode 5 of the Oh Mama podcast with Libby and Jess. We want to be your new favorite mom friends, dishing on all the things: parenting, marriage, careers, and our latest television and Target obsessions. In this episode, we discuss frugal kids, school tests, parent-child relationships, friends, things not to do as a parent, and Jess's super famous high school. She rode the school bus with Natalie Portman. We also recount a hilarious Rosh Hashanah mishap, seemingly sexist comments at work, and how moms all love Lizzo. Hey, everybody. You're listening to the
Oh Mama
podcast with Libby
and Jess.
I'm Libby. I have 4 kids. And I live in Richmond. We're neighbors, and I have 2 third graders, a first grader, and a wee little baby that is basically exhausting me. He's a toddler now, and life does not get easier.
I don't think it does. Unfortunately, people are always like glorifying parts of the journey, and I'm like, when's that glory coming? I mean, it's great, but it's crazy.
And who are you, Jess?
Okay, I'm Jess. I'm a neighbor of Libby's. I also obviously live in Richmond, Virginia. I've got 3 kids, a 5th grader, a 3rd grader, and a 3.5-year-old.
Oh, mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. They like, oh, 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 mama, mama, the drama's thick when you step in the swift. You now ride with Libby and Jess, and you about to get yourself a little blessing. They got plenty of lessons and even more children. They got stress every day that's building and building, but they still keep it clear with a fresh point of view. And if you tuned in, you're about to get a little bitty clue of what it's like to be a working mom with fashion, and to love your kids and God with plenty of passion, and realize what it's like to be working so hard that you don't even feel like you got time for your squad, or even to write a letter to your mom or your dad. And if you ain't feeling good, then maybe you feeling bad. Well, these 2 ladies here for you, and they coming through this microphone, whether you at work in your whip or if you right at home. I hope you subscribe and never hide from the truth. You now rock with the 2 illest ladies in the booth. Let's go.
It's a fall evening.
It is. We decorated for Halloween tonight.
Ooh, and it looks good. I especially like your mummy.
Yeah, we're totally going to win. We're competing with our neighbor to be the best house on the block, and I think we got it in the bag.
So who judges this?
I think the kids.
Ah.
Yeah, and we have more kids, so we win.
Oh, that's good. Just keep making babies until you win the contest.
We got a really good deal because we went to Target, and all of the stuff was gone because we're procrastinators. And so I was like, what about the things on display that are, like, you know, zip-tied to the shelf? I'm like, can we get those? How much are those? So they took everything off, and we got a blow-up smiling ghost, which I liked. And then this little tiny light-up mummy, which I love, and I've already declared we're going right back to Target and buying these in Christmas characters as soon as they come out.
Where do you store these things?
Our basement, which we cleaned up the other day, and I was like, clean. I'm saying cleaned in quotes. My parents have been on a mission. They're like, you should get shelves for your basement, and every time Nick's like, do we really need shelves? Like, basically, can we just have everything, like, on the floor, like, in bins, just stepping over stuff?
Pat doesn't want to get rid of anything, because what if he needs it?
But yeah, with all those kids, you might need it.
We need things, but we don't have a clue where they are. Like, we didn't know where Kara's birth certificate was, and we had
registered
her for summer camp. And it was, like, a few days before the registration, everything was due, and we're like, we know it's in the house, but we don't know where. So I went to the Office of, like, Vital Statistics and had to pay them to get a birth certificate. And I just, you know, like, then it nearly, like, blew away with the wind. And I was like,
why wasn't her birth certificate with the other kids?
I don't know.
That makes me feel so much better, because I literally had a, like, emotional
meltdown or like grumpy episode today of like not being able to find Jacob's pacifiers. So I'm like, we have 20 pacifiers in this house somewhere. I know it. And we can't find any of them. This is maddening.
And then he'll like get past needing the pacifier and you'll happen upon like the stash. It's always the way.
Nick was like, are you okay? I'm like, this is very serious.
Very serious.
We do not have our together.
So I normally do not have any kind of order to my life, but one thing I'm good at is after holiday shopping at Target, our favorite place, and after Halloween, if you stock it long enough, everything goes to 90% off.
But what will be left?
There was some good stuff left last year. So Dylan had like admired her friend's Squirrel Girl costume. I don't really know what that is, but it was a whole thing, and it was like $40, and there was like a $10 wig. And so that I saw it, I was like, well, you're going to be a Squirrel Girl next year because this $50 costume is now $5.
Okay, does she still want to be the Squirrel Girl?
She is going to be Squirrel Girl.
That is amazing because my kids do not hold interest in a character for more than, I would say, 6 months tops.
I don't know that the interest is there, but she's so frugal. She's not going to let this good deal.
How do you raise frugal children?
I'm not proud of it because I think it's created more issues. Like, I wanted her, you know, you want to instill, like, a sense of, you
like
know,
responsibility and accountability,
like,
yeah.
But I think she takes it to the next level. Like, she was just like this. Like, I remember she was 2 years old and we were at Elwood Thompson and somebody gave her a very generous slice of cheese to sample. And she looked at me and at age two, she said, I don't want to have to pay for this. It's a sample. Enjoy it. But we're like, she's two. Like, what?
So it's clearly not your doing.
No. I
mean, she was
the other
born
kids
that
are
way.
Like, money, 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 make it rain. You know, they have no concept of like any kind of.
I know. I feel like Nick and I have tried to start talking more about like that costs money. That's how you can do it. We're trying to save money by not eating out all the time or money, money, money. And I don't know if we're like harping on it too much or it's hard to know. I think on a lot of subjects, like what you should share with your children and what you shouldn't, like. Am I treating them like they're 20 right now and like a delinquent young adult or...
Yeah. How do you talk to them?
Or am I trying to raise them to be thoughtful?
Has she gotten any tests or quizzes back?
I don't know if I've seen tests or quizzes back, but I did get something where they sent him a piece of paper saying, like, she did 98 out of 150 math problems she was supposed to do, like, on the iPad. And I'm like, what? How can they just, like, assume that everybody has, like, an iPad or a smartphone? I mean, she must have had to do it at least for a couple hours over the course of a week. So, like, this last week she had to make up for her, like, you know, 52 points that she was below, plus do another 150 this week. And then, like, if you do more, then you can be in the winner's circle. I'm like, I feel wrong encouraging you to, like, be on the iPad for 3 hours for math homework.
We don't even have an iPad.
Well, would they do it on the smartphone, your phone, or you have a computer?
I have my work computer that they can use, and, yeah.
I just was like, this seems a little much.
Well, Kara's had, like, I don't know, she'll, like, tell me she has a test or a quiz, and I'm like, well, what's it on? She's like, well, it's not really clear. I'm like, well, do you have a study guide? She's like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, well, how do you feel? She's like, I feel ready. And then afterwards, I'm like, how did your quiz go? She's like, well, I'll never really know because I don't think he returns anything. She's like, but I feel good about it. I'm like, okay, I guess we'll just see how your report card goes in, like, a few months.
That's hilarious.
There is a part of me that kind of loves this, like, don't ask, don't tell thing that's going on.
I know,
on
well...
Kara and homework and tests and stuff.
That's what I had done until this, but, I mean, the teacher's like... You know, she sends him that sheet that's like problem this week. Like Valley only did 98 out of 150 questions, and I'm like, oh no! Like I didn't even know you had to do that. Like, what are we talking about right now?
No, and then I think Baker's getting a complex because he'll come up while they're doing homework and he'll say things like, "I don't even know how to read." And I'm like, well, you're three. I think that's okay. It's like despondent.
That's hilarious. Valley has really gotten into our podcast. She wants to hear it, and I'm kind of like, "Ooh, I gotta think about this.
Yeah,
like, what parts you can
like
listen
a
to?"
Very, like, family-friendly version.
Yes, yes. And she goes, so the other day I told her, well, we're going to have a launch party and we're going to need merchandise. And so she got this notebook out and she started designing stuff like and t-shirts.
She knows about your t-shirt machine, right?
Yes, she knows about the t-shirt maker. I have all these like crafts that are like waiting for me to use them. But anyways, she was designing t-shirts and I don't know, stickers or posters or whatever. And Emma was too. But the best was, and I don't think she's really listened to anything, maybe a few minutes here or there, but she started writing a script for an episode and it was literally like,
can we use it?
Yeah, it was right on. She was like, the other day I made my husband mad, so I had to say I was sorry and then do a bunch of things. And I was like, oh my God.
Nailed it. She's got the formula down.
Preparing her well.
That's what it's all about, right?
Yeah. So,
basic imprinting.
Yeah. All my kids are excited about the podcast. Have you told your kids about it?
Yeah, they are aware. And I think that they're like, so when are you going to become like podcast famous?
Yeah.
I'm like, good question. I don't know.
So you were just talking to one of your daughters on the phone who wanted you to come tuck her in at night,
yeah,
right? So I was wondering, in our family, my two birth children are more emotionally attached to me and Emma is more emotionally attached to Nick and like yearns for him, calls for him. Like he's got to be the last one she says goodnight to. Like she always has to say, I need to sit by him. I need to sit by daddy. I need to be by daddy. I need to watch a movie, eat dinner. Everything's got to be next to daddy. And I just assumed, I don't think my two are as bad because she goes back and forth and they're with us. So I think, you know, when she's around, they like lay off Nick a little bit. And then when she's gone, they'll like take more of Nick's space or whatever have you. But I was just thinking, oh, this is because we're a divorced family and, you know, normal non-blended families don't have this. But do you think that you do?
I definitely do. I mean, I think those are kind of like two separate questions, I guess. Like, do you know what I mean? Like,
what were the two questions?
Well, like, do you have like a... like a overly attached or like overly sensitive to like ritual kind of child?
Uh-huh.
Or like... Does your child have the same attachment to, like...
both parents.
Yeah, especially if it's a blended family.
Yeah.
And, like, your kids have a different relationship with Nick than Emma does with you.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's, like, kind of multi-layered, I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
But, like, in our home, Dylan is the more, like... I guess, like, I feel like she relies on rituals and, like, relies on us to tuck her in, or me to tuck her in, specifically. And when I'm out of the house, it, like, raises her antenna for all these things she's concerned about, and she wants to, like... have details and have some control over my whereabouts.
Yeah.
And, like, that is kind of a theme in our relationship. Like, she definitely wants to control me. And I'm like, shouldn't it be like the other way around?
Like, I just had that conversation at dinner.
Really?
Yes, because they were literally like, I want to sit here, and I want to sit by dad here. And, you know, the kids are like, I want to sit by mom and do this, and I want that, and I want that. And Nick's like, whoa, what is happening?
Yeah.
We are the adults.
What?
Yes. Why?
I often feel like the inmates are running the asylum.
For sure.
But so, yeah, Dylan needs that. She's much needier with all those things. And maybe Kara is to a lesser extent, but her needs just got squashed. Like, she's middle child, you know?
Yeah.
There's that, like, we never really indulged her, so she couldn't get all that. But she probably yearns for it.
Yeah.
But it's just not going to happen, and she knows that.
So, yeah.
I don't know. And then Baker is, like, his own thing. Like, he's just, like, totally different from the others.
Yeah, I just don't remember at all feeling like fighting with my sister as a kid for my mom's attention or my dad. Like, I need to sit next to mommy or I need to sit next to daddy. Like, I don't remember ever like wanting one of them more than the other.
Or vying for
their attention at all, to be honest.
No, I didn't vie for their attention. I always had a different relationship with my dad than I did with my mom. That was always an easier relationship for me.
Yeah.
Less intense, and just felt easier and more nurturing for a lot of reasons. And I love my mom, but that was very intense. Like, there was more emotional charge to things. And,
yeah.
But it was never like my brother and I fighting for their attention or affection. You know, we were kind of like self-sufficient. I have to be like reading parenting books and making sure that everybody is getting their hierarchy of needs met. You know, it's exhausting.
And so do you think we're trying too hard or, well, like, overanalyzing stuff?
Like, I mean, I think we know kind of what didn't work, but do we know that this does work? Like, all the stuff we're trying to do, like, is this generation, what is going to happen to this generation? Like, we're all trying so hard with our positive parenting. And I get it, but I'm also like, is this?
I don't know. I feel like our children, there's definitely this sense of, like, they rule us.
Yes.
And I don't remember feeling like I was the one with the power as a kid.
Yeah, and I hate that. And yeah. I know there is a part of me as a mom.
Help us.
Like, yeah.
Listeners, if you guys have tips on this or experience something different, help us.
Yes, without manipulation and violence, how do we establish the pecking order?
Let's talk Friends, because this year was the 25th anniversary, I guess this fall when it premiered, and it's probably, I've probably seen this show more than any other show, for sure. Mm-hmm. It's actually kind of funny when, I think when I first met Nick, yes, this is so true. So on Nick and I's very first date, I had brought up Friends and Frasier, like it was a random date, and I was like, "What do you think was?" Because I had just watched Frasier for the first time when I'd had David, who's now 7. So when I had, he was a newborn, and was living in Alaska and like barely holding it together. My favorite part of the day was rocking him to sleep in a Lazy Boy from my parents and watching Frasier for like 3 months. I think that's all I did every night, and I put down the whole series.
Wow!
So I was like, I guess I hadn't rewatched all of Friends since then, but so I was like, Nick, do you think Friends or Frasier is better? And he was like, definitely Friends. And I was like, really? I thought Frasier. And I tell you, like, I'm not kidding. I thought about that. Like, I went home and I was like, still thinking about that weeks later. So I had to rewatch
was
like
that
all
like
of
a potential deal breaker with Nick.
No, I just was like, am I wrong about this? I need to get, like, I couldn't, you know, I couldn't stop thinking about him, but really I couldn't stop thinking about it was Friends or Frasier better. So I've since like rewatched Friends. I'm not sure if I did it like straight through, but I used to do wedding photography, so I would edit the photos, but mostly watch Friends. Like,
yeah,
you know, I'd be like, I'm listening to it, and then have to like pull up YouTube and like actually see the video. But I loved Friends. Were you a big Friends person?
I liked it. I don't feel like I loved it.
You liked it.
I know.
What?
Well, it was like right around the time that all this other really good TV had entered my life.
Like what?
Like my so-called life in Party of Five.
I stuck with Friends. Like, I watched Party of Five for a little while. My so-called life, that was over in, like, a year. It was, like, one season.
I just loved it so much. And then, so there was, like, so I remember it was kind of, like, all blended in an era. Like, in my head, it was, like, my soak, Party of Five. I know. Yes. Party of Five, Friends, and, like,
wait,
Seinfeld was also right around. Like,
oh, see, I never saw Seinfeld.
Oh, my gosh.
I feel like that was, like, Nick watched it, but I didn't. Hold on, wait, didn't you say that you, I always have to, like, get Jess to tell me her funny stories that I've heard off air, like, on air. So didn't you say you had a crush on a boy that reminded you of Jared Leto from My So-Called Life?
Oh, yes, yeah. And I went out with him for a short while in high school. It was very exciting.
You went out with him?
Well, this was kind of a cute high school crush thing. So I saw him in high school, like...
Leaning.
Yes, and I felt very much like Angela. And normally I didn't feel like Angela. Normally I felt like Sharon, the best friend that was very responsible.
Yeah, I was Sharon, like Sharon. H.M. Lang or whatever, like the
no,
braids.
Yeah, Sharon Tursky. No, not
like
not
student
Ryan.
President or whatever.
No.
Not Ryan, yeah.
Yeah, the other one that's like wanting to be Angela's second mother. That's her age. That's who I was.
Scrunchy in the hair.
Yeah, I was like, we need to talk about your habits.
Yeah.
but no, I did have a crush on this boy that leaned really nicely and reminded me of him. And
did he have the long hair?
Not that long, but
okay.
It had a little length to it.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, it was a short-lived moment in time, but I was...
Sort of like Angela and...
I think,
what was his name?
Jordan Catalano. But I think it was more the excitement, you know?
Oh, yeah.
High school, like, it's like the excitement of who you like rather than if you actually
oh, for sure.
to, like, date them.
Yes.
Then it's like, this isn't as
I mean, that was, like, Jordan
movie.
Singh was his, like, mysteriousness, right? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were still hung up on Angela and Jordan and not as into friends like Rachel and Ross.
I still go back to my so-called life, yeah. But I have caught some Friends episodes in later years, and they are funnier now, I think, than they were then.
Friends?
Yeah.
It is so good. It still makes me laugh out loud. I will say, though, do you feel a little weird going back and watching shows about teenagers, like in high school?
I don't know.
Without like a bunch of the parents.
Well, Pat and I did look up when we put My So-Called Life back on in the last few weeks. We were like looking up the age of her parents while that she like.
Are they our age or
yeah,
younger?
They're like younger than us. Yeah. The actors that played Angela's mom and dad are younger than we are now.
Oh, yeah.
The show began. And at the time it was like, oh my God, parents.
I know. Jeez. They're so old and like lame.
So it is really weird, isn't it?
I guess you could watch it from the. But I have thought about that. Like, they're fun to watch. Like, people love them. Like, what's it called? Riverdale or whatever? I haven't really seen it either. But just the idea of, like, whatever the new, like, teenage show is. But then it's like, when you're this far, like, when your kids are closer to teenagedom than you are, like, doesn't that feel a little weird?
I'm relating more to it. So I've been getting really into Fresh Off the Boat lately, which I think you would love.
Yeah.
It's funny. But the mom, Constance Wu, she's from Richmond.
Woohoo! Constance!
We love you. She's in the lead in Crazy Rich Asians.
I loved that movie.
I know. That's Kara's favorite movie. She wrote about it in second grade. Yes, I let her watch an R-rated movie, and now she will tell you. She's like, she wasn't really a gold digger. I'm like, that's right, Kara. Put it in your essay.
But it's just like the Goldbergs. The kid is always like, I'm going to write my paper, not on Sandra Day O'Connor, but on, who's the guy that...
Roseanne.
Yeah. Who's the guy that directed Titanic?
Oh, James Cameron?
Yeah, I'm going to write on James Cameron or, you know, one of those
exactly.
guys.
Exactly. But so that show is so good, but I do like the mom is like, does no one have homework? Does no one have anything?
On my so-called life?
On the Fresh Off the Boat show.
Oh, Fresh Off.
So it's just my way of saying I now relate to the mom.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
Last thing about TV, you've got me hooked on this show, Dead to Me.
It's so good.
And...
But doesn't it get your heart thumping? Like, it's, like, hard to go to bed after.
Yes, it did. Well, yes, at first. And, like, that stuff never bothers Nick. So I'm like, Nick, wait, I can't go to bed now. I do love James Marsden and Christina Applegate. And who is that Judy girl? Do you know her name?
Yes, she was in Freaks and Geeks, which is a really old show. Do you remember?
Oh, yes. She was the main girl on that show.
No, she was like maybe she was the main girl. Like she was
the brunette girl.
The sister. Yeah. Sorry, I said mean girl.
Sorry, no. Main girl. And then there was Busy Phillips, who was the blonde girl.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, you saw that show. I love that
She does
show.
Look so familiar now. Okay,
that
thank you for
on
placing
my
that.
High school. Like 80s or 70s or something. Yeah, it was
your real high school.
It was it was created by Judd Apatow, and he went.
I'm sorry, are you friends with Judd Apatow? No, what?
I don't know him, but he did go to my high school, and so did Natalie Portman, and so did like.
What? Oh my gosh, and Nick's gonna have a heart attack.
Leslie Arfin, who like created the show Love and the Girls, and
wait.
Yeah.
How was Judd Apatow at school at the same time?
You know, older. He's older than we are.
Dang it. Well, you definitely need to go into any sort of high school reunion you can at your high school.
I missed my last one.
Wait, and Natalie Portman, was she there when you were there?
She's 2 years younger. So she was there when I was there, but she wasn't in the same grade. But she rode the same school bus. So
she was already acting by then, right?
Yeah, and she was like, and I didn't know her, but I would, you know, the school buses are small.
Did she finish high school there?
Yeah, she did. And she would be like on the school bus talking about like how she really had to study for her... You know, like, advanced chemistry quiz because she had this thing over the weekend, a.k.a., like, a Woody Allen movie. And I would be like, God, I'm, like, putting off doing my homework. And she's, like, you know, doing all this stuff.
What? Natalie! We would love to have you on the podcast. You and Jess are friends from way back.
No, we didn't ever
You rode the same school bus.
Because I was very into Woody Allen. So when she was doing the Woody Allen movie, I always tried to get a seat. Kind of nearby so I could pick up on any good gossip. But I never heard anything that interesting and
what?
I didn't know her personally.
My mind is blown right now that you went to the same school as her, that she was riding the school bus. Like, what is happening?
And my kids aren't on the school bus, but good for Natalie Portman that her parents instilled that in her.
That's crazy.
I appreciate that. But yeah. But I loved that show, Freaks and Geeks, and I thought it was fun that it had that attachment to my old high school.
Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, is Natalie Portman supposed to be busy? No. Like, why did they put Natalie Portman in the show? Like, we need a girl to be Natalie Portman at this high school.
Oh, because
it's in the
80s. She was so young.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, that is so funny.
She's too young, but I love that woman, Judy.
Okay, I'm like, how did we even get on this? Yeah. I'm just like having celebrity like high or whatever.
Well, you were the one that lived in LA. I'm sure you had some.
No, I didn't have anything like that. No, nothing. LA's a big city. Oh my gosh. What happened with your parents coming down?
Yeah, so they came down. My parents and my brother and my sister-in-law and my niece and nephew came for Rosh Hashanah. And it was really nice to see everybody. And then part of Rosh Hashanah, it's a Jewish holiday, it's the new year, is like casting away your sins and going into a body of water and throwing breadcrumbs in the water and kind of like atoning. So to finish it all off, my parents were still around. Everybody else had taken off for home and we went to Bird Park to throw the bread into the water. And it started off by like my small children like missing the water. So like just throwing the bread on the ground and all the geese were coming up and like attacking us. And I was like chasing them.
Oh, geese. Yeah. Like,
get out of here.
Geese are scary.
My dad was still very like he wanted to do it. So he's still throwing the bread into the water. And with the bread goes his cell phone.
Oh.
And you know, he's in his mid 70s. He's not sure about the cloud. He doesn't know what's on there. If he still had. So he's, you know, my mom says, should we call the police? And he's like, what, to report that I'm a moron? You know, we can't do that. This is, no. So we weren't going to do that, but they did not hesitate to have me get Pat out of work to go to Lowe's to get, like, fishing devices to, like, try to get the net.
Wait, why couldn't you go get the net?
Well, because I had to take my, I had to rush it. So my dad, in the interim, is thinking, like, I got to get this phone out of there because he thinks it has all this information that's only on the phone.
Yeah.
And I look over and he's taken off his shoes and his socks and he is in the lake. And I'm like, start freaking out because it's almost like the way I react to my children. I'm like, we don't know what bacteria is in there. Get out of there right now. Like, Dad. And I was like, we are going home and you are rinsing off and like disinfecting your feet. We're not having a plague because you went in the water. So I was like rushing them home to rinse his feet.
And nobody told you to shut up? Like, I feel like if I did that, everybody would be like, shut up, Libby. You have OCD.
No, like, you're all like, get in the car, Hank. Everybody was on board. Pat was like, you're crazy.
She's exactly right. Use scalding water when you get in the shower.
I know. Make sure it's antibacterial. So, yeah, we were cleaning him up and yelling at him. And then Pat was, like, off to get these, like, fishing devices. And basically a long time had passed and the phone was not going to be retrieved. But in that time, my dad realized that there is a cloud and his phone is backed up. And no, dad is actually lost. And this phone is actually 4 years old and he needed an upgrade anyway. So, like, all things considered, it was just fine. But there was a couple panicked moments.
Yes. You know. Well, I mean, I think anybody would panic if their phone went into the water. I wanted to quickly talk about an article that I read about things not to do as a parent. I'm always interested in those, like, you know, check the list, be like, am I doing that? Am I not doing that? There were 15 things, but I marked 7 that I thought were interesting. One was skip getting to know a kid, which I was like, ooh, that's good advice. Like, I think it's easy to assume, as my little one pokes her head down the stairs, that, like, they're my offspring. They're, like, mini versions of me. I already know them. Do you ever, like,
I think that maybe? Always surprised how dissimilar we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, wait a second. How can you not love math? I loved math as a kid. Or how do you feel different from your kids?
In a lot of ways. I mean, the way that, like, I think we've talked a little bit about, like, sass and control and the way that, like, they feel free to express themselves. Like, I felt very different about how I could speak in my parents' home.
Yeah.
And just, like, the things that I would think maybe would bother them don't. And the things that I wouldn't think bother them sometimes do. Yeah. You know, like, just all that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm always surprised.
That's true. Or, like, with activities that they want to pick, I think it's easy to be like, oh, you'll like the activities that I like. Yeah. But
And understand, for me, it's like understanding their reaction to things.
Yeah.
You know, like, because that's true. I mean, that's like really getting to know them.
Well, that's a next number two is don't keep your child from crying. And I was kind of like, But what frequency are we talking about here? Because if you have a child that cries over something every day, like...
And is that different?
Is that
from
something
like,
healthy that you want to maintain?
I mean, can you ignore them crying? And that's just, like, what does that mean? You know?
I think it was like, you know, being sad is okay, okay, and they can express their emotions, but you're like, well, there is a fine line on what it's okay to be sad about. You
well,
know, like,
it's
like
it's manipulation, right?
Right.
Like,
so a lot of times it's manipulation.
So then,
like,
I don't know.
We definitely have like a whiner in the family that will like cry and whine. It's a daily, like, it's a daily thing. And you're like, how do I ignore this behavior or stop this behavior?
Yeah, and there are times with Dylan and Kara that will be like, you can carry on, or we could go do this thing. And
that's a good one. Yeah, that's a good one.
I don't know. I'm like, well, they can turn it off like that. It's probably yeah. not really bothering them that much.
That's true. That's true. Number three was ignore the good behavior. And I just felt like, oh, this is so pertinent to me right now because I feel like I can do that in my marriage and at work, or like feel the opposite where – like, if my kid feels like I'm only giving them negative feedback, like, I feel that so strongly at work and in my marriage. If I feel like, hey, like, you only give me, like, you yeah. know, constructive criticism or whatever. Like, where is my, like, good job on this? Or, yeah. wow, you worked really hard at that. Or, like, couldn't have done it without you. Like, you really nailed that, you know? So I felt particularly like, oh, I should remember that for sure.
Yeah.
Because we're always trying to, you know, like, correct.
Yeah.
Like, let me focus all my energy on correcting rather than being like, you did that amazing. Like, way to go.
It's so hard because I feel like my tone is so different. You know, like, if somebody's so loving and nurturing to me, my tone, like, when I tuck Kara in at night, I'm always like, oh, what did I do to get so lucky to be your mom? She's like, what did I do so to get so lucky to have you as my mom? It's like a love fest and we're like, mwah, mwah, you know. Then I tuck Dylan in and she's like, what are you doing in here? Like,
and I thought she wanted you to be there.
She loves me and she wants me to be there and I love tucking her in, but like the tone is so different and then I like want to recreate the like, how did I get so lucky to be your mom? And she would be like, do you have Tourette's? Like, what is wrong with you? Like, it just wouldn't go over it in the same way. But maybe that's just getting to know your kid.
Getting to know your kid. Number four was putting off important talks. And I was like the sex talk? Or,
yeah.
And you said you'd already, like,
they know. I feel like they know a lot.
So I'm still putting that off. So I guess I should really think about that. One was, like, don't have one-sided discipline, meaning, like, only one parent yeah. is, like, the discipliner, which I'm totally guilty of. Like, Nick is a discipliner. And what do you guys do?
I feel like we both get frustrated. I mean, the hard thing is with us is that we're both so busy as you guys are
yeah.
that I feel like one of us will say, like, this is the limit.
Yeah.
And then they'll, like, we won't know that the kid is, like, asking us because, you know, they already got the limit.
Yeah.
So I feel like there's some, like,
yeah.
some of that. Where then we've screwed ourselves because
yeah.
we both said two different things.
Yeah.
And it's really them playing us.
Oh,
but
those kids.
I know they're so on it.
Yeah. But. Like the other day, Nick was like, don't just say, listen to what Nick told you or do what Nick told you. Like, you back me up and say, no, you do it too. You know, like,
yeah.
go brush your teeth. It's
hard.
Hard.
Because you don't always agree. And Kara and Dylan have both said, like, so you're just going to say yes because daddy said so, even if you don't think he's right? What if daddy was abusive? Would you be like, well, I'm just going to stand
oh
by
my
daddy?
Gosh, I can't believe they
yeah,
said that to
they'll
you.
They'll say things like that. And I'm like, well, no, I have some limits. Like, abuse is one of them. But if it's just basically like,
who
you know.
Are these children?
I know they're outsmarting me.
Dude.
At every turn. Can't keep up with myself. I don't know. But no, that's hard. Okay, then not setting an example is one.
And I think that means, like, we're like, keep your room clean, and then we don't keep our own room clean.
For sure. It's so much easier to bark orders
yeah.
than to walk the walk.
And then forgetting to unwind and self-care.
Kind of similar to that other one.
Yeah, I'm assuming that's for the parent, not for the kids, because yeah. all they do is get the unwind and have self-care. But yes, I think we're working on that with our working out and, you know,
yeah.
trying to hang out with Taylor Swift and Natalie Portman
yeah.
and Constance Wu.
Podcast
so.
Is kind of an unwinding
Yes, this
moment.
Is. This is definitely some self, this is something for us.
Yes.
So it makes us better parents.
I hope
right?
so. Well, I don't know.
Okay, I think I think it does. Yeah.
All right. What's going on at work?
Oh, well, not a whole lot, but I did have this interesting moment where a couple times I've been told, well, I guess really just one time it was worded like, watch your tone. Like, you should really be careful with your tone and how you talk to that person who happened to be a man. But I think I've had the feedback at least twice, and another one was to a woman. But my boss is a female, and so I got that feedback twice, and I was just like, what? And I was actually surprised both times, but to be totally honest, like, I feel like I can just be more abrupt, I guess, and not as, like, emotionally in tune when I'm talking to somebody, because I'm like, well, let's get to the facts. Let's figure out what happened here, and or I'm like, well, let's get to the solution. Like, this is obviously the solution, and so I forget the, like, emotional part, like the empathy or whatever the right words are that you probably know and are an expert at. And so, but it was, I don't know, me listening to all these like feminist talks or whatever, I'm like, would somebody tell a man to watch his tone?
Because you think that would have been a different conversation had you been male?
So I have a female boss too. So there's like twofold, like, would a male boss have told me to watch my tone? Would a male boss have told another male to watch his tone talking to a guy? You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It could just be me projecting what I've heard so many people tell about, like, women in the workplace. You know, like, women get asked all this stuff and men don't. But
yeah,
I don't know. I guess the way it was worded, like, your tone, it felt very, like, a female thing.
Ugh.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Although I completely understand, like, don't forget to have, like, emotional empathy or, like, think about how the person's feeling. But I don't know. It was...
Should we ask a male perspective on this?
Yeah. I think I asked Nick. Nick, does anybody ever ask you to watch your tone when you talk to people at work?
Like
if you just happen... Yeah, like, or feedback later. Like, I just happen to be really direct, and I told Justice that I'm just like, wait, let me get to the answer, or let me get to the solution. And then I've had feedback of, like, you should really watch your tone and the way you talk to people. And I've been, like, surprised both times. I was like, well, I was just trying to take care of business. Like, you know?
I get a lot of feedback. So, yeah, I've heard that before.
You have?
Yeah.
Well, there blows my story about anti-feminist.
I don't know, maybe this is pretty effeminate,
so
maybe this is more of a corporate world thing.
Maybe so.
I mean, I'm not in the corporate world, so.
I feel like if another dude had been watching a dude ask the dude, like, wait, what's your job? Tell me what your job is. Like, nobody would have been like, oh, you should really watch your tone. People might think you're kind of bitchy. I mean, that's how it seemed to me. Like, you should watch your tone, Libby, because that might not... Because women, I hear people talk about women have to be likable at work too. But, like, men don't have that same, like, standard they're trying to reach or something. Yeah.
I think that's super true. Or they're, like, even in the schools, you know, it's a little different because I'm not trying to, you know, it's the objectives are different, I guess, during the work day. And the way that we talk is, like, I don't know. I think as a social worker, it's a lot of, like, tone and caring for the tone.
Yeah, you're probably all in tune with that and very kind. And
well, but I've been in the teacher's lounge when they've been, like, interviewing for principals, and I've heard female teachers say, like, oh, I hope they don't get a female principal because I couldn't respect a female principal. Like, I've heard, like, such outright,
kind of,
like,
so sad.
Shocking sexist comments.
Yeah.
And I've just been so blown away, you know, like, people that I like and respect to say things, and I've been like, really? You feel that way? Like, for real?
Well, yeah, and I feel like there's part of it's like a generation thing, and so this person was like an older generation, so like that could be it too, maybe not just a male-female thing, but in thinking through all this work stuff, I was like, should I ask this, like, 26-year-old to be my mentor? Because I like the way she works. Like, she probably works way more than I ever want to work right now, but she's just like, bang, bang, bang. I'm going to get it done. I'm going to be totally blunt. I mean, she's, like, nice to people.
Yeah, has anyone told her to watch her tone?
I don't think so. Yeah, like, I think she could have had the same conversation and nobody would have been like, excuse me. But she's, you know, like, three levels higher than I am. And anyways, I don't know.
Yeah, that sounds not like a fun conversation.
What do you think about asking somebody, like, 15 years younger than you to be your mentor?
I don't know that I would word it like that. But maybe I would be like, I love your style. Can I pick your brain for a few minutes sometime?
Yeah.
I don't know. You can ask her.
Will you be my mentor? It's kind of needy.
Is she, like, pretty approachable?
I'm not really sure.
You can find out.
She's just a hard worker and, like, gets stuff done and is good at her job.
That's admirable.
And, doesn't seem to be all, like, ooey-gooey emotion, like, watch your tone person, but maybe.
I don't know.
I just have a lot to learn, I think, Jess.
So did that make it harder after being told that to, like,
I think it just makes you, like, second-guess yourself. Like,
yeah.
Again, with only getting, like, constructive criticism or constructive feedback instead of, like, in addition, having positive feedback, I think I just end up in this place of, like, second guessing my actions, my words, like what I can do. You know what I mean? So it doesn't, it's not a good feeling.
I mean, I was recently like reflecting on, you know, like when I first started doing the job that I do, how I like reacted to things.
Yeah.
And like, I remember there were a few times that I felt like there was like things were like being done wrong. And I felt this like I needed to jump in and say my piece. And, you know, I remember older people that I worked with like kind of squashing that and being really annoyed at the time. And now I can kind of be like, oh, I feel like the older person, not because I've grown, but because I'm a little dead inside and I don't like care as much.
Well,
but it's just exhausting after a while, right? Like,
oh my gosh.
The energy.
Like a day or two later, I asked a girl that sits in our pod who's older than I am, like closer to my boss's age. And I just said, hey, did you like hear my tone the other day? Was it, you know, was it?
She
mean right. and she was like, I don't know if I was there, but I have been around you because she sits, you know, two desks down, and a lot of times I think that you're upset about something, and I look over and you're not. You're just passionately talking. You're like a loud talker. And you get really excited and you're like over there smiling, but I thought you were like upset and angry, and I was like, oh,
really,
so is it just because I'm just like, you know, Nick always says he's intense. I was like, oh, okay, so it's because I'm like loud and you think I'm intense and so therefore you think I'm like being mean or whatever. And I'm just like asking a question, like totally like not trying to put anybody down or whatever. So I was like, oh, that helped. I mean, it helped understand, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't really, I've always been a loud talker. Like, I don't think I can change.
Let it go. It's who you are.
I don't know. Do you want to end? Oh, what is this? Nick and I did go to a wedding. I'll just put that out there. I was very excited for us. We drove all the way down to Atlanta to see my best friend from childhood get married.
It's cool.
It was really cool. And at first we were kind of like, it was last minute. It was a small wedding. She wasn't even going to have one. And so we sort of got invited last minute and then, like, said we would go last minute. And we were like, oh, like, why are we even going? I haven't seen her in forever. But we got there and, like, all of our friends were like, we know who you are. You're Libby. Blah, blah, blah. We've heard all about you.
Did you feel the love?
Yes. And her friends were super nice. And it was just, she was in my first wedding. It was just great to, like, we were family friends. It was nice to, like, be there and support her and see her brother and his kids and her mom again. And I got this cute little dress that was, like, open back, but I was, like, not brave enough to wear it without a bra because I don't have any, like, front side. So I was like, I'm going to wear a bra. And then her brother, like, leans over to Nick and is like, hey, your wife's dress is unzipped. Like, you should probably, like, zip it up. And he's like, oh, no, it's, like, supposed to be like that.
That's how we roll.
So I did, like, it was a little bit of a risky dress for me, but I think I stood out a little bit at the Southern Atlanta wedding. Everybody seemed to have like a
more
a dress code.
Conservative outfit.
But I got to wear my sparkly shoes and I was so happy.
Important.
It was good. It was a good little date for Nick and I to get away.
Was it her first wedding?
Yes.
It's pretty intimate and
yeah, I think they just, you know, it was his second wedding, but yeah, I think like they didn't even have like they didn't have dancing, which I was a little disappointed about, and like they didn't have an MC or anything at the wedding. It was just like they cut the cake with no announcement, no nothing, and it was just dinner and like cocktail hour. There was cocktail hour, but what have been some favorites for you lately?
What have been some favorites?
Well, besides the Beachbody.
Do you feel the need to really quickly say that even though you might have been embarrassed about your open back dress, it reminds me of when I went to my really good friend's baby shower and I left her bathroom and I did not realize that my skirt was tucked into my underpants.
At least you're at your friend's house.
And I know, and I just kept walking to join everyone. I didn't realize my skirt was tucked into my underpants. And then I felt the little hand reach behind me and like untuck the skirt from my underpants. And then the person was gone. So I
didn't even know who it was.
But they were very discreet.
Was it a baby shower or a wedding shower?
A baby shower.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, at least it was like all women. Yeah. You were safe. What? Was at somebody's house or a restaurant?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was okay.
That's a total Rachel moment. Remember from Barry's wedding? She was a bridesmaid and she came out of the bathroom right before she walked down the aisle and had the dress in her underwear and walked down the aisle.
That was a Rachel moment. I remember she sang Copacabana. Right?
Yes, in the pink dress.
That was good.
That was good.
So favorites, yeah. The working out at home thing is a favorite.
Okay. I should just come over to your house and work out.
I know.
Oh, you live right by me.
I have to like pause it even though it's only 30 minutes to catch a breath.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
That's fine.
But yes, I love that. I love fall. I love wearing leggings and sweaters and the whole like crisp air.
Yes.
Yes, I like the season.
I know. Fall is wonderful. Everybody loves fall. Nick is sitting here laughing at me. That's... Okay. I found some coconut-free soap for Valley and Jacob, although I'm still working on Valley. I'm on the search for the perfect gentle soap for her, but good for Jacob. We had donuts for David's birthday instead of a cake, which I thought was like a win and a favorite because we always get the cake and the kids never eat it. Or like one eats the icing, one eats the cake, one just smashes it on their plate.
Yeah.
So it was fun to have something that everybody liked. And I'm really into my leopard shoes. I feel like they go with everything. And so I'm having fun. Like, you know, at first when I bought them, I'm like, ooh, should I buy a shoe that has a print, you know? Like, because you want shoes to go with everything. But I find I can wear it with, like, lots of stuff, and I'm having fun doing that. And UVA football is good right now, or better than when I was a kid. And I've been told that, that there are lots of other moms like me that love Lizzo's album, Truth Hurts. So Valley's like, oh, yeah, my friends and I talk about how our moms all love Lizzo, Truth Hurts.
And
you all love the shopping malls. Well, when Taylor was so expensive, I listened to this Dolly Parton's America podcast the other day, and I was like, maybe I should take her to Dolly Parton. Everybody loves Dolly.
Dollywood.
I know. Like, we're talking about going there for spring break. So I was like, Nick, look it up and see if Dolly's touring.
That'd be amazing.
Yes.
I love Dolly.
Thanks for joining us today as we explore the demands of third grade and how every kid needs an iPad. We related our different relationships with our children and how we both feel our children seem to be running the show way too often. We uncovered a gold mine in Jess's celebrity high school and confirmed that Friends is indeed better than Frasier. We also discovered being a loud talker can be to your detriment at work, or maybe those coworkers need to listen to Lizzo and Dolly Parton, two of our favorites this week. If you like what you hear, please share the Oh Mama podcast with your friends and family. We'd love to hear from you. How do you stop your kids from running the show? And did you go to high school with anyone famous? You can find us at Oh Mama Podcast, that's O-H-M-O-M-M-A, with Libby and Jess on Instagram and Facebook. Bye, y'all.